Hello, brothers and sisters. Hope you guys are having a good week. And I hope the hope and the peace of Jesus is with you guys, especially in this world that's full of darkness. And remember, God loves you and He's got this. We've been looking at this a Bible teaching, Bible preaching series I've been doing on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at the two key chapter and verses, and that is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26, and of course Matthew chapter 7, 16 through 20. Now, and as I've been doing, I encourage you guys, and hopefully the ones following this, you guys have memorized these scriptures by now, and I pray that your life points to Jesus, and that the fruit that we speak on, that it clearly is seen in your life. Because we got to be that light that shines brighter within the darkness all around. I love giving the illustration of a lighthouse. And this, my wife and I, we were watching a pretty cool movie, and they moved into this lighthouse, and one of the scenes it had where it was just shining out in the darkness, and it is a beacon of hope. When those ships are out there in that sea, and it's all, the storm is raging, the clouds are just coming down, and that light shines, and they follow that light to the rock, the solid ground, and that is Jesus Christ. That's such a beautiful thing, guys. We're going to read Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and then Matthew 7, 16 through 20. And then we'll pray, and then we'll get into our last fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, and variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelling, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have been crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not desire vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Matthew 7, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down, that is cut down, cast into fire. Therefore by their works ye shall know them. And that was Jesus speaking. So if you get mad, yeah, you can take it out on me if you want to, but you're really taking it out on Jesus. These are harsh sayings. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, we just come tonight just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to get through this series, Lord. It's been a growing process for me, breaking down this and studying them deeper so my life can reflect your glory and your honor and your righteousness, Lord. That I will look more like you. I will walk more like you, even though I fail you every day. But the goal is to be like you, Lord. To let the world see Jesus in the way we live our lives. and not be satisfied with living like the world lives. To say that we are a child of God and we are set aside and our lives are supposed to reflect His glory, His honor, not ours, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we go through this last fruit of the Holy Spirit, that You be with me. You guide and You direct this preaching series, teaching series, Lord. And whoever out there that needs to hear it, Lord, I pray that it just goes into their hearts. And I pray if they don't know You, Lord, they will seek to know You. And they will give their life to You, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, those that are just kind of lukewarm, they're straddling that fence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You wake them up. They realize that life they're living, being neutral, being lukewarm, is going to come to an end. Because the way this world is turning out, the line is drawn in the sand. And they will not have an opportunity to straddle the fence. It will be for You or for the devil. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, here we are, guys. Last fruit of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have looked at love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and faith. And last week, we went over meekness. And I encourage you guys, all those sermons are on this website. You might have to scroll down and find them, but they're there. And if you've never heard a series sermon preached on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you guys, or even if you have, come listen to them. You got any feedback, man, just hit me up and we can talk about it. I love talking about Jesus. I can talk about Jesus all the time. My wife gets upset with me sometimes because, you know, I love talking about Jesus, and there ain't no other place I'd rather be or talking about how God is wonderful and how His hand is in motion and how He pulled me out when my life was in ruins and restored me to be a messenger for Him. A poor messenger, but a messenger nevertheless. Thank God for that. You know, when we look at this definition, temperance, right? And how the world kind of views temperance. And I was looking at a dictionary. I just grabbed a dictionary up. And it had this definition: the ability to manifest control, moderation in one's action and behaviors, avoiding wild swings and maintaining a steady course toward an ultimate objective. That's it. In other words, self-control, right? You can say self-control, self-discipline. But, you know, when you look, you know, that's the definition. That's what the world kind of views at. You look at self-control and you really look and you kind of look at the news. How is that working out for them, right? You see the rioting and the looting. People are just acting out on every impulse, destroying natural monuments. It's horrible. From the sex revolution to now, sex without being married is commonplace. Cohabitation as living together is normal, even within the church. You know, that goes against the word of God. Of course, we speak truth in love. You know, sex has pretty much became sex without strings. You know, sex, if you can have sex, you don't have to be married. If she gets pregnant, it's okay. We'll just kill the child because it's not convenient, you know. But, and we can also sit there and start pointing the finger at this world. But I want to tell you, the world has rolled into the church. Your average Christian gets more excited for a football, baseball, shopping, vacation, list goes on and on, than they're for going to church or having that personal devotion time or Bible reading and prayer. Is only second or third, even worse, it could be the last in a professing Christian's life. And I say professing Christian's life because I use that term because a Christian who professes to know Jesus, but their hearts are far from him. If you truly know Jesus, you will have that passion. You will have that fire. You will be excited to go to church. You will be excited to do your devotional time. You'll be excited to read your Bible. You'll be excited to pray. All of those will be excitement. There'll be fire. There'll be fire to go out there and to spread the gospel, to talk to people around you. I'm telling you, we are in bad shape. We are in bad shape, guys. When we flip over to the Bible, we can look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And Peter says this, "And knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and bound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful." There's that word again, unfruitful. "In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Peter's telling us about temperance here, guys. And it is self-control. And it says, this temperance leads to patience. And then patience leads to godliness. That is holiness and righteousness, which is not really preached in churches today because they want to keep audience, right? And that's a quick way to clear a church out. But if you're a child of God, you desire that holiness and that righteousness. And then that godliness moves to a brotherly kindness, and that brotherly kindness to charity. And that is love. That is agape. And of course, that was one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we spoke on at the very beginning of this. And that's genuine love, sacrificial love, unadulterating love. It leads straight to Jesus as a love. When you look at the love of Jesus, you see the cross. You see God who sent his only begotten son. His only begotten son, guys. Because he don't want to see nobody perish. See, Jesus had to live among the world. He had to suffer in this world. He had to endure the suffering and torture of the cross. So that we can come right where we're at right now and say, "Here I am. Here I am." He wants your heart. He wants you to give it all to him. Repentance of your sin. You no longer want to be your old self. You want to be that new self. You want to have that new self-control. You want to be born again. You want to be a disciple, a soldier for Jesus. You want to give it all. You want to surrender all. Your battle cry is, "Change me, change me. Set a fire in me, a passion to reach those around me with the gospel of Jesus Christ." If you get anything out of this sermon series, get this. But I hope you get a lot out of this sermon series. But the one thing I want you to get, I want you to daily look at your life, do that checkup. Ask yourself, "I'm walking in love. Am I walking in long suffering? Am I walking in gentleness? Am I walking in goodness? Am I walking in faith? Am I walking in joy? Am I walking in peace? Am I walking in meekness? And am I walking in temperance? Does my life look like Jesus?" If a preacher at your church tells you, "Oh no, that's okay. You don't have to try that. Jesus doesn't care." He's going against Scripture. I would encourage you to ask him, where does it say in Scripture where Jesus tells you not to walk in the Spirit? Not to mirror him. Galatians 5:16 is a clear picture. It said, "Walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." And I'm going to talk a little bit about the flesh when we get a... I just want to get through this part. And then, of course, we'll go over the... I don't want to fixate too much on the works of the flesh, because we need to realize when we walk in the Spirit, we focus more on the Spirit. We walk less in the flesh. If you go and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 through 27, Paul tells us this: "Every man that strive for the For the master is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. That is the end game. That's everlasting life, right? Now therefore I so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight I, not as beating the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into submission. Least by means when I preach to others, I myself shall not be a castaway. That checkup, Paul is saying, you know, I hear, see that term, beat in the air. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if you guys look at gorillas. I love watching Nature Channel and Animal Planet and the Western lowline gorillas. And of course, when I was in graduate school, I did a paper on them. And the male gorilla, he, to establish his dominancy, he will get out of nowhere, just stand up tall and just beat on his chest, right? Beat in the air to say, hey, I'm the man. But the thing is, we don't have to be the man. When we realize we are nothing without Jesus, we're nothing without the Holy Spirit in our life, we start understanding exactly who we are. There's nothing we can do in our power. There's nothing that special about us other than the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and that now we are children of the Most High. We are royal blood. Amen for that. We are children of God. That should bring a smile to your face unless you're not. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31 said, and of course it's still Paul, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. See, Paul understood. You look at this and you say, what does it mean to die daily? Every day when we wake up, before we step out that door into the work week, or before you begin the day or night, you get on your knees or whatever position you are comfortable with. God sees your heart and pray and keep praying. You can start out with 5 minutes. And the more you get in tune with the Holy Spirit, you may pray longer. And of course, that prayer continues throughout the day. We pray without ceasing. You see, your flesh does not want to get your heart in the right position during the morning. If you have to go to work, or if you're working an evening shift or a night shift, the flesh does not want you to pray. You will fight. I know when I get up in the mornings, I don't want to give that time. Most mornings I do, but there's some mornings I'm like, I don't want to. Die daily. Those are the days that you need to make yourself, because there's something about to happen during that day that you know, because the enemy wouldn't be trying to pull you away from God. Pray. Get your heart right. That's getting your heart right. And if you have time, you look at a few scriptures in the morning, or even read your Bible. But definitely you need to read your Bible sometime during the day or night. You need to sit that time aside to do your Bible studying and to your devotional time. See, your flesh does not want to read the Bible. Your flesh does not want, it wants you to get on that couch, maybe with a good romantic novel or a John Grisham novel or whatever that is, or get on the couch with the television, you know, and cut the television and watch, you know, whatever that may be on there. Maybe there's a football games are kind of dead in the water, so, you know, which is good, because that kills out a lot of idol worship in footballs, because there's a ton of it, and baseball games and wherever it may be, maybe like watching the Real Housewives. I don't know. It's just, but wherever it does takes your time away from God, put it last. don't put it first. That is idolatry, right? Temperance, right? Pray. Read your Bible. Understand we cannot do nothing on our own. Jesus left the Holy Spirit as our comforter to guide us and direct us, to lead us in the right path, the narrow way that leads us straight to Jesus. Amen, right? Temperance, self-control, guys. Not our control, but because we are new. And our new self that has the Holy Spirit allows us, when we let Jesus control our lives, we have a control that this world does not understand. That they don't understand how when something hits your life so tragic, even it tears you down, tears in your eyes. But you can look and say, it'll be all right. Jesus has this. There's a purpose for the pain. There's a perfect purpose for the suffering. As we look at Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Of course, almost everybody knows Matthew 7 verse 1 is the most misquoted, probably one of the most misquoted memorized scripture in the Bible. I get hit with that quite a bit, and a lot of times when I do get hit with that, it's because somebody's trying to justify their sins. They love living in their sin. They don't want to be correct. So when you point it out in love and not in hate, not in trying to prove that you're better than that person, just trying to point in the way that we should walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. 7 verse 1 says, judge not lest ye be not judged. That's the most popular scripture that probably most professing Christians can quote while looking, and they don't even read the rest of the chapter. Matthew 7 is a sad chapter, because there's a lot of hard truths. And one of the hard truths is Matthew 7, 16 through 20. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And at the very beginning of this sermon series, I talk about fruit and fruits. Here is using fruits. And you guys can go back and look at that if you want to, but the difference is really not too big difference. The most important thing that we need to focus on is, are we walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh? And do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? For even so, a good tree, that's a good tree, bring forth good fruit. A good tree brings forth love and long-suffering, goodness and gentleness, right? But a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit, and that is the works of the flesh. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hemmed down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now you need to understand, we will have challenges in our life. We will encounter moments where we just kind of lose it, right? That's not what they're talking about here. We're not perfect. It's easy to get in the flesh. The thing is, when we do get in the flesh and when we do sin, we repent. True repentance tears your heart, because sin tears God's heart up. If you're doing a sin and you're perfectly fine with it, you don't believe you need to repent. You don't believe you've done anything wrong. You have evil fruit. Because we know the Holy Spirit corrects those that He loves. And those that don't, He corrects. It's not His. Therefore, you're not Him. You're not His. You're not a child of God. You are an evil fruit with a corrupt tree. A corrupt tree bringing forth evil fruit is all satanic. You are a child of Satan. And of course it says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. You see, in the end, as we walk this earth, as we progress through our days and our weeks and our months and our years, and one day our life could be gone in a blink of an eye, what will people remember about you? Will they say, oh, that man or that woman was a child of God? Everything he or she did, you could tell the fruit of the Holy Spirit was there. And that they wanted more of Jesus in everything they done reflect Jesus. And when that person did something, you could truly tell it tore their hearts up. Or will they say, that guy was, or woman was professing something they didn't know nothing of. Their life didn't look nowhere as a Christian, or how we view. We have to be very careful around people. They're watching, especially ones that say, I know Jesus. And before we close this up, I want to look at the works of the flesh. Let me stroll up here. So when we look at the works of the flesh, what you'll see is sexual sin, fornication, which is kind of a broad term that covers adultery and homosexuality. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality. When we look at this world, and I know most of you don't live in a box, and you're very aware that it is okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman, but it's not okay in God's eyes. And the pulpit should reign that, as it's not okay for a person to be with another person, male and female, living together without being married. It's not okay to have sex without marriage, because God put sex within the marriage, and it's a beautiful thing. A lot of people want to try to separate those sins. They are equal, and they need to be preached on as sins. Pornography, sin. Uncleanness. This can really refer to the uncleanness in thought, speech, or action. When we look at lasciviousness, that's kind of unashamed sexual sin that goes beyond the boundaries. We look at witchcraft. Well, I skipped a few. Lasciviousness, idolatry. I want to tell you with idolatry, man. When we look at the Old Testament, we see all the idolatry in the Old Testament. I'll tell you, America is worse than the Old Testament with idolatry. We have so many things that we put over God, it's not even funny. When you decide to go on vacation instead of going to church on Sunday, you're putting your priorities in play. When you choose to turn the TV on and neglect reading your Bible or your devotional prayer, you have placed the TV more important. See, idolatry. God is a jealous God. He says it. He don't want no other gods. But I'll tell you, America has filled herself with gods, and the enemy has blinded them to them. witchcraft. Don't even get me into witchcraft. How, when you look at witchcraft and how popular it is, and when you go to the Disney, you see Frozen, and is witchcraft all in that, and people are letting their kids watch that. And that, and devil's grabbing a hold to our kids at a young age. And when you start talking about it, they look at you like you've lost your mind. But the thing is, that is witchcraft. And when you break down witchcraft and what it is, that's exactly what it is. All they can do is get mad. Once again, this is God's word. This is not my opinion. This is God's word. We look at hate, you can see that all around us. Hate can involve those who are enemies of one another, biting and devouring one another until they are totally consumed. Variance, immolation. And this is just inward expression of hate toward others. Wrath and strife. Of course, they're kind of the three ills mentioned here, right? Wrath and strife, they kind of go together. Sedition and heresies are usually caused by selfishness. Rather than loving one another, the works of the flesh divides people. Envying. When you look at envying, when you look at somebody, you look at the things they have, and you're like, oh, why do they have all those things? Instead, just thank God they have them. There's a reason for everything. There's a reason for everything. And of course, drunkenness and reviling. And both these relate to alcohol. Man, alcohol is, you know, you know, drinking specifically in the Bible isn't, there ain't nowhere you can find where having a beer or drinking a glass of wine is a sin. It always speaks of drunkenness. Me personally, I can't touch this stuff because I was years and years of drinking and numbing the pain. I was a functional alcoholic. And I can't touch this stuff because where it takes me. I can't just stop with one drink. I gotta have more. At least the drunkenness. That temperance. That self-control when I drink is, I don't have any. I avoid it altogether. And then of course, when we go to the end, Paul describes these practices, works of flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what he's saying here is lapse. We're going to lapse sometimes. We may have a moment. I know the one, uncleanness. That's one. Thoughts. You can't really, you know, you can't really do too much when a thought runs through your head, or when somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you may not say it out loud, but you just gave that person every curse word in the book, and you threw the book at them, and you hope the book hit them, so they'll run over and run into a tree. That's sinful. That's uncleanness. Repentance. When that happens, I know when it happens to me, you immediately feel a conviction on your heart for doing that, and you have to repent. Paul is speaking of a lifestyle here. They do those things and they don't even think twice about it. It's just a thought. What does it matter? But I won't tell you, the little foxes destroy the vine, right? It's those little things you let creep into your life. Unrepented sin, unconfessed sin is a dangerous thing. With all this said and done, We should walk more in the Spirit and less in the works of the flesh. Remember that as we end this sermon series. They're available on this website. You can list them over and over. If you have any questions, just hit me up through my website. Love you guys. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, we just come tonight thanking you for the opportunity to finish this series up, Lord. Lord, I pray whoever's out there that needs to hear this series, Lord, it reaches their ears. It touches their hearts. It guides and directs their path to reflect more of you and less of them. That they give their hearts all the way to you with a passion of fire to stand on the Word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, the prayer requests I get throughout the week, Lord, and it's on my prayer list, Lord. We lift them up to you. We pray that your will be done within their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those are struggling with this pandemic and the financial hardship, Lord, I pray you be with them that time. I know I've been there. You've been good to me during this time. But I have been there. Financial hardship, a loss of a job, and the pain that goes with that. You be with them. You give them comfort. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they just, that we just become children of God, Lord. That we have a desire and a passion to spend more time with you through prayer and devotional or Bible reading before we step out into that battlefield, Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good week.